There are a wealth of different writers in the book, and I was wondering if it was your own network that must be huge, or you know, you mentioned that going to AWP helped spread the word, so that's one way to get the word out there. I have the sense, though, that once you hatched this idea, that the book began to take on a life of its own and find its contributors in an organic way.
Yeah. The call for submissions went out in Poets and Writers magazine. I did Crops and Duotrope, which are a few online resources that a lot of writers go to. And a lot of the submissions came through that way. A few of them I did solicit purposely. I practically tackled Richard Blanco in the hallway in Boston because I knew I wanted him in this. And he was more than happy. He said, absolutely, just here's my number, call me. We'll, you know, get that done. And, you know, I was shooting for some names like Naomi Shahib Nye and Timothy Liu, Lee Young Lee, who happened to fall into my lap out of serendipity. But to have a mix of those names that are more known, along with the folks who were sending me their work, who were incredible writers through those submissions. So it was a mishmash of both, you know, the call for submission and then me going out and reaching out to certain people for it.
Yeah. Given the revival of xenophobia in the last couple of years, the book is beginning to look like it's prophetic.
Serendipity, I guess, and I'm sad about that and I'm glad about that. It is couldn't be better timing. You know, I wrote it when, of course, Obama was in office. It came out in October of this year, so it's just after this whole unbelievable debacle that we're in. I'm so glad. I hope it sparks hard conversations for people, and I hope it supports the fact that this is America. What's in this book is that's what America is and what America was supposed to be. And that's the beauty of America. So I'm glad and I'm sad about the timing, really.
You know that's the beauty of America because you're in an outsider, or you're on the margins in a way because of your heritage.
Yeah.
I see that. You know, I go to other countries and they say, you don't seem like an American. And I say, thank you.
Yes, I get that too.
Because
it's like a European.
When they say you don't seem like an American, they're talking about an ugly American.
Right. The prototypical cliche. Which apparently exists, and I feel so from what's happened that I was somehow naive and innocent to that fact. You know, I always thought that was a joke, but apparently they exist, and they exist strongly, and I've lived on the West Coast most of my life, or the East Coast, so I've been in that blue range, you know. I don't know what to say about that. We just have to keep working at it. We just have to keep putting out books like this and saying we're here, and don't you want to live in this world with us? Don't you want there to be variety and a mix? And, you know, that's the beauty of all kinds of things in life, is it's the spice of life, to be cliche. Yeah.
But a book like this, you know, we could, in the sea of white supremacy, I mean,
yeah.
It
would never reach their ears. I don't think it would ever. I hate to be a pessimist, but I don't think it would ever come into their realm in any way.
Right.
And that would be a huge win if even one of them picked it up and went, oh, I had no idea. What's this about? But you have to be open-minded to even get there.
Well, there you have it.
Yeah.
That's the key right there, open-minded.
Yeah.
Yeah. How do you begin to talk about the individual pieces in the book? You've mentioned a few of the more famous folks that are in here. I mean, I have a list of people that I found interesting.
Right. The range, I think, is probably where I would start. You know, I have a poem in there from Ituro Udofio. This was her first publication. She was thrilled to get it. We worked on the poem together. I wanted it to be a part of this. So we have someone like Ituro, who's got her first piece published, talking about making a dish with her mother from their country, Nigeria.
Fufu.
Fufu.
Daughter of the diaspora.
It's lovely, yes. Yeah. It's a lovely poem. And then you go all the way up to, you know, Naomi Shahib Nye and Lee Young Lee. And in between are these very human stories being told that anyone could relate to. You know, they're about families. They're about encountering the world outside of your family. I think anyone could relate to those stories.
Mm-hmm.
And so I like that it has a range, not only a range of ethnicities, you know, from German to someone who had an English parent, to Cuban, to Taiwan, to Nigeria, to, you know, Colombia. Mm-hmm.
They are stories about families, but with the luminous details of a culture mm-hmm. we likely don't know much about.
True, true. And that was my hope. Right, yeah. Right.
B.K. Tuong, Living in the Hyphen, another example.
Yes, yes. He's so good. He's such a good poet and such a sweet guy. Yeah, those poems blew me away when I got those from B.K. His story from Cambodia, tough one, but a very common one, I think. Coming to this country after his parents had been put in camps and his grandmother raising him.
Fleeing the Khmer Rouge.
Yes, right. Right. Right.
That's how...
Yeah, very different immigrant stories from what my mom encountered. Uh-huh. I mean, my mom came from, a lot of people don't realize this, but El Salvador is very much a two-class society, especially when she lived there. There was the very poor, and there was the very wealthy. And her family was very... She had a chauffeur growing up. She had maids. There was an aviary in the middle of their house. She came from a very different perspective within a very poor country.
Mm-hmm. Well, that two-class thing wouldn't happen in a country like this.
Really?
The phrase used to condemn those countries was banana republic, and that's right. What we're becoming.
Yeah, yeah.
Without the bananas.
She came to this country on a banana boat, essentially. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. His poem, B.K. Tuong, mm-hmm. Of his brother eating a steak and having two different dipping sauces,
right.
One traditional Thai, mm-hmm. and one A1.
Yeah, yeah. It really makes the statement, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah. And him looking at that and even noticing that. You've got choices. And,
right. And yeah. How does it end? It ends, I'm going to pull this up here.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you have two sauces for your steak? Well, when I get bored with one sauce, I go for the other. I choose whatever pleases me at the moment. It's all good, bro.
It's all, I love that last line, yeah.
But it's interesting that I choose whatever pleases me at the moment. It says some, like any good poem, there's such subtext to
right,
it.
Right.
What is a subtext?
He's got the luxury of boredom, first of all. He's got the luxury of choices. And he's got an American's perspective. I think it's a cousin or a brother, but who's been here longer than BK. He's got choices.
And he can dip into either culture at his choosing.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he can choose to skim the best from either one.
Right, right.
Right, fantastic. Mm-hmm. Pragita Sharma, a situation for
Mrs. Biswa. Yes. Yeah. She's going to be here in January at Elliott Bay, and we'll read that. She'll come down from Montana. That was another writer I sought out. I had read that poem online and thought I would really like that. It's different. It's a different addition to it. It's a narrative. It's well known. It's probably anthologized elsewhere. But I had wanted Pragita to be a part of this as well.
A fantastic writer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And presence and human.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, I'm reminded of this Seattle Times article of a week or so ago that said these Trump buyers were having remorse because, you know, they expected Trump to go after immigrants, but the bad guys, not people in their neighborhood, were doing good things.
Yeah, not in my backyard, yeah.
Yeah. Mm.
It's a mentality I so can't relate to, that you can't see that all of society has the bad, good, and the indifferent, and everything in between. You can't just label one culture as good or bad. Yeah. People want black and white answers. Not to make a pun, but there are no black and white answers. We have to deal with the gray all the time. Yeah.
Others in the book you want to call out?
There's a poem. there's a poem called "My Grandmother Washes Her Feet in the Bathroom at Sears," and that was another one I sought out as well. Being a 12-year-old and watching this situation go down, and loving your grandmother and having the two, prototypical Anglo women walk into the bathroom and tell the 12-year-old, she can't do that. Tell her she can't do that. To be in that situation of being translator, first of all, and also having to tell your grandmother, who you adore, that she can't do something that is so common to her, that is so a part of her religion, a part of her culture. I'm getting chills just talking about it, thinking about being in that situation. Of course, the author makes it charming and lovely, but I think of that little girl having to be in that situation between those adults and being the translator, and choosing in the poem, I won't give away too much, but choosing to not say anything, to just smile and nod.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. What's the highest outcome of the book?
Yeah, I've been asked that before. Well, I guess on the bottom line, it's to get good reviews and to make sales and to be widely read. But like I said before, would I like some hard discussions to come out of it? Yeah. Would I like someone to be educated? Absolutely. I think the highest outcome, though, would be to reach the children of immigrant who are not creative writers, to say to them, look, here's some stories that you can relate to. Here's how to be in the world. You're not alone. I think that would be the highest outcome for me. Yeah.
What would your advice be as a workshop teacher for someone who has a story like that?
Well, write it down. Don't censor yourself, first of all. That's the first thing. Read widely is the first thing, but tell your story. Don't be afraid. Get it down on paper. And who knows where it'll go from there. If it's nothing more than satisfying you that you got your story down, great. You can pursue it further if you want to. If you really want to be a creative writer and write those kinds of stories, you can pursue that and do it. And here's an example. Here's 70 people who do that and are successful at it. Yeah. And hopefully you're touching other lives. Yeah.
I'm really grateful you did this. I'm grateful, Paul, that I'm included. That helped.
Thank you. Yeah, me too. Hearing you read your poem just resonated with me again. Yes, I picked really good stuff.
Yeah. Thanks for your time. And congrats on your good work.
Oh, thanks, Paul. Appreciate it.